See if, we get one or how many are we short? Let me see, 1, 2, 3.
We need 2 more.
4. Okay. I think we'll get that. There's one. I think we can go ahead and get started. There we go. And I'm guessing that that's Alex Maslin under Erica's account.
He's a magnificent bastard. You can tell by his
right. He is. If one of our hosts can change his name to reflect his true identity, that would be fabulous. Unless he's starting to identify as Erica Dansek.
We all want to identify as Erica, but not all of us can handle it.
I'm surprised there's only 2 Ericas this meeting. Usually there's 3 or 4.
All right, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. If we could get, let's see, Alex Gonzalez, would you be so kind as to conduct our Pledge of Allegiance?
No problem. I'll have to be off camera, but
that's okay.
We'll place your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United
States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. We can get a council roll call, please.
Sure, no problem. Vladimir Anderson. Eric Dwayne.
Present.
Alexis Federico.
Present.
Alexander Gonzalez.
Present.
Alex Maslin.
Present.
Robert McDonald.
Present.
Mario Munoz. Marcos Villa.
Present.
And Stephanie Wade.
Present.
We do have quorum, Chair.
Excellent. Thank you. So we'll move on to item 4, public comment. This time, members of the public may address council regarding any items with the subject jurisdiction, provided there's no action is taken on an off-agenda item, unless authorized by law. Comments shall be limited to 3 minutes, unless we set different time limits, but that will be approved by council if we do so. Are there any members of the public that are here to speak?
We did not receive any via email. We do have a member in the attendee room. If you would like to speak during public comment, please raise your hand and I will unmute you. Or if you're calling in, you can hit *9 and I will unmute you. Seeing none, Chair.
Thank you. All right, we'll go ahead and move on. We have with us today Shannon Teague. Shannon Teague, are you in the room? Wave if you're here. There she is. I see her. Marine Corps flag in the background. Shannon's here. She's an LCSW with the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. I know this is something that Alex Maslin set up. Alex, do you want to say anything before we give Shannon the floor?
I'll have something to say just afterwards. I'm actually running from meeting to meeting, so I'm going to let her jump right in.
Very well. Shannon, you have the floor.
Hi, guys. Good morning. This is my partner in the background. This is Officer Tyrone Anderson.
He's how you doing, guys?
The other half of my team, so if you wonder who that is sitting behind me, if you just bear with me, I'm going to pull up my slides. All right. Can you guys see those okay?
Someone's going to have to share with you. So we cannot see those at this time.
Oh.
If you click on the share selection, you can just make sure you check the PowerPoint. You should be okay as long as sharing is allowed.
Sorry, just 1 second. Let me... Okay, can you see it now?
Perfect.
Yep. All right.
You might want to be in presentation mode.
Yeah, I was getting back there. Sorry, technical difficulties. I apologize.
No worries. You can just go on. We can see it very well.
Okay. It's fine. So good morning. We are the Veterans Mental Evaluation Team. We work for the Long Beach VA here in Long Beach, California. Our team consists of a VA clinician as well as a VA law enforcement. And we dispatch with local law enforcement and respond to calls for veterans in crisis. Our team reaches out to at-risk veterans who have fallen from care or maybe are not connected to services and are in crisis for suicidation, homicidality, gravely disabled. We started back in 2018 in partnership with the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department after they had went on a call where a veteran unfortunately ended up losing his life. And in the mayor's challenge, as well as with the suicide prevention team, they really wanted to find an approach to really better engage our veterans to provide them that really quality service that they really needed. So as you can see in the picture here, this was actually one of our calls for service. We had a veteran that had went up on the Vincent St. Thomas Bridge. He was upset after not getting the news he wanted on his benefits claim. Our team was able to assist with local law enforcement, and thankfully we were able to help engage the veteran, get him to come down safely, and brought him here to Long Beach VA, where he was able to get treatment and referred out to appropriate resources to help him with the barrier that got him in crisis. Statistically, there's 17 veterans dying by suicide a day. And out of those 17 veterans, we've found that 11 of those are not even engaged with any type of VA care. So by having this program, we're really able to, both myself and my partner are also Marine Corps veterans, and we're really able to engage with them on another level to provide them that quality service when they're in crisis. Where it's not a call center, it's in person. We do go out in the community physically and take calls. We may see them at their home, we might see them at work. There has been times where we've even engaged veterans out of state. We were the first of a program of its kind in the whole nation. So we really just wanted to model the program that was already kind of existing in the community, but cater it to specifically to our veterans' needs. So just a little bit of information on our program. We've taken calls directly from the White House Crisis Line. We've worked with the FBI, Secret Service, when they've got calls for service or veterans calling into those lines. Of course, we work with both LA and Orange County. We do cover our whole service area, as well as some of the outlying areas, because there's no other teams in Southern California. Community partnership is key. Being able to work with our community providers, not just because they have veterans that they engage as well, but be able to assist them once the crisis is over. So a huge part of our program, aside from the initial crisis, we do a lot of follow-up care. So we'll go and see them on the psych unit. We work with the doctors. We work with providers here. We work with the veterans' family. And we really just want to help them get whatever resources that they need, because generally they're dealing with maybe substance abuse or mental health, benefits issues, financial issues, family issues, legal issues. So we really work with those community providers as well as providers here at the VA to minimize those barriers for them. The teams are consisting of one VA police officer and one VA clinician. Here at Long Beach, we hope to have a second team soon. We are, fingers crossed, waiting for fiscal year this year to have a second clinician. We have got approval on our police side, so we're just kind of waiting for the clinical side. Orange County, and this is more pertinent to you guys, I'm LPS certified in Los Angeles County. So essentially I can place psychiatric holds in LA County. However, Orange County didn't want me to be dual certified. So we do have to partner with the CAT teams and the PERT teams if we get a veteran that's not willing to come in voluntarily. But we do have a good working relationship with them, as well as many of the Orange County police agencies and sheriff's department out there that are usually more than willing to assist us when we have a veteran in crisis. Just to kind of give you an idea on the caseload that we have, these are our newest numbers. We just hit our third year anniversary last week, which is very exciting. Last year, we went on approximately 1,269 calls for service. We saved 27 veteran lives that were at risk for imminent risk of death, which means that they had the means and the plan and the intention to carry through, and without some kind of intervention would have resulted in death. But we are very happy to say that 27 of those vets are still at home with their families today. We assisted 47 outside agencies this last year. We enrolled 4 new veterans here at the VA, and we had 5 housing placements directly from the crisis to housing. My background prior to this was in homeless outreach services, so I was able to kind of use that, and we were able to permanently house some veterans. As a part of our last 3 years of our program, I was very lucky and blessed to go to a program called the VA Shark Tank that kind of highlights new pilot programs in the VA, and we ended up winning that competition. So we were able to work with the innovation team and spread it to 5 VAs across the country. And after the completion of that 1 year run at the 5 VAs, they selected our program to work with them nationally. So currently we're working on a 2 to 4 year expansion program with our national office to hopefully get this program nationwide, which is really exciting. But currently right now we have 3 permanent programs, one here, one in Fresno, California, and then our newest in Oklahoma that's just starting. So that's kind of a little bit on some numbers on our program. As far as community providers, we do accept calls for referral from anyone. The calls can come from a local police agency. They can come from here at the hospital. They can come from a community provider. They can even come from the veteran themselves. So to get a hold of us, it's very simple. And our numbers are on, I'll make sure the slides I sent you guys for them to send out have our information, but you just call our police dispatch. From there, they kind of triage the call and then disperse the call out to us. We do work currently Monday through Friday. Monday, I'm the only one here. Friday, my partner is the only one here, but Tuesday through Thursday, we're both here. And our hours are 6 a.m. to 4:30. So we'd really love to be able to partner with anyone or any of your community providers that you guys have where you engage our veterans, so that we're really just able to get them the appropriate care that they need, and not have that feeling of like a local law enforcement having to go out. This is VA employees that are able to assist them in real time. So that kind of concludes my presentation part. Let me close this and then I can open it up for questions. Okay. I don't know if anybody has any questions.
Yeah, at this time, go ahead and ask your question. Stephanie, you have a question?
Yeah, so it's nice to see you again, Shannon. We've met a couple of times, and I'll just say for my peers, I'm a big believer in VMET. The Veterans Mental Health Evaluation Team model is really phenomenal, I think. But my questions were, what VA facilities have VMET teams now? You said 5, but then you only mentioned Fresno and Oklahoma.
Correct, yeah. So the 5 was our pilot program. 2 of them weren't successful. One of them was a rural location, and that was in New Hampshire. Their setup, we were trying to do it in a smaller setting to see if it would work in a rural area. However, it really wasn't conducive. That VA didn't have a hospital attached. They didn't have a mental health clinic. And then the second one was that Texas? Yeah, Houston, Texas. But because of COVID, they financially had to pull out of the pilot. So the 3 that I mentioned are the 3 full functioning programs currently.
Okay. And then has there been any talk about trying to do it at the West LA campus? It just seems like such a natural fit for West LA.
There has been some talk. There was some management changes going on and it was delayed and I haven't heard much recently. I know that they were still pushing for it, but I haven't heard anything at West LA.
And then you alluded to not having, not being cross-certified in Orange County for LPS so that you can't put anybody on a 5150, is that right? In Orange County yourself without.
Correct, yeah, that's been a big barrier for us, so.
How is that, can you describe for me precisely, because you said you can sort of partner with a local law enforcement team that has that power. Has that actually been a problem? Is that something that you haven't been able to do?
The partnership's not the problem. What the problem is if I'm able to go out and place the hold, it's a much faster process. We go out, we assess the vet. If need be, we bring them in. It's very minimal involvement with the local law enforcement unless the veteran is physically out of control or a safety risk. Gotcha. We're able to just bring them in. When I have to go through the CAT and PERT teams, it delays it quite a bit because I have to call the CAT team out. And then once they get there, then they'll call the local agency out and then they won't transport to the VA. So they'll transport to an outside community hospital. And then from there, it usually takes a day or two to get them here. And so by the time that 72 hours is up, they may get one day or day and a half at the actual VA hospital. So that's kind of where the barrier lies. We're still able, of course, to get them treatment. It just delays getting them to the VA.
So in terms of where was that decision made? And, you know, because this is something I might just at least pass on to my supervisor.
Sure. That was at the DMH, the head of DMH. I could probably get you the context that we were working with because it was a few people and we were meeting as a committee. It just ultimately kind of for 2 years, we were really working on it. And then this last year kind of fizzled out because of COVID. We haven't reconvened, but there was just some hesitancy with the dual.
So I'm going to pass that on to the supervisor who appointed me to his office. And maybe they'll want to look into it.
Thank you.
That was all I had. Except it's nice to see you both. Hello, Tyrone.
Same, yes. Hey, yeah, Simplify.
Nice seeing you again.
Are there any other questions?
I'll jump in real quick.
No, go ahead.
I'm in a better place to jump in here now. One, I just wanted to thank Shannon for jumping on and the presentation. I think that, or at least my connection started in my day job as a police officer. We have a team that specifically deals with crisis negotiation and trying to defuse situations. And she did a presentation for our team to help better equip them to deal with veterans that are in crisis, that are in a crisis that's unfolding kind of in real time out in the field. And they're a great resource for something like that. And I think kind of given some of the current events and unfortunately what that's doing to the veteran community, we can't have enough resources out there at our disposal that we can point people to or call someone out, especially if we have a veteran that's in crisis kind of right now in real time. So thanks again, Shannon. Really appreciate all the information. I know a lot of it was unknown to me until chatting with you. So hopefully this is new information for a good amount of people and we can send some people your way if they need the help.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate you guys hearing about our program. I'm going to jump off after we do this. We got a call we got to get to. So thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you for what you do. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
So I guess the question after that one is, how do we fix that Orange County situation? We need to fix that. That is ridiculous.
I'd be happy to look into that a little bit. In my day job, I work quite a bit with the CAT team and some of the other teams from the county mental health. So I have a few people I can reach out. Get back to everyone.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. Appreciate that.
Maybe Kevin has some insight.
I was going to say, I'm
here. I bet Kevin knows something.
I can speak to how the county manages psychiatric holds and LPS certification. The county does trainings intermittently for community providers who find themselves in situations that where it's appropriate to their position to be eligible for the LPS certification. So the county administration determines through the LPS training team who is eligible for those certifications as they roll out those trainings and certification process. So that happens usually once a year, every 6 months-ish, you'll see those LPS certification trainings happening. We are in the process of adjusting our crisis response programs. We don't know what that's going to look like yet. There's still discussions on what our crisis system will look like in the future. So now is a good time to have discussions around this. Talk to our county board members and share your thoughts, and especially with Shannon doing what she does and her team doing what she does, what they do, having the opportunity to work within Orange County and place holds within Orange County may be a benefit. So if you feel the need to advocate, you feel that's something that you'd like to advocate for, definitely I would encourage you to talk to the board members.
Eric, do you think that this is something that warrants you appointing maybe a subcommittee for us to work on this on, and then maybe propose some action for OCVAC? And by action, I mean, obviously, our recommendations to the Board of Supervisors.
I think so. Absolutely.
I will say, in regards to crisis response here in Orange County, our CAT teams and our PERT teams are the ones who are LPS certified. They will work with Shannon. They also work with our OC for Vets teams. So when we do have veterans in crisis, OC for Vets will go out with CAT in support of our veterans in the community during the crisis situation.
Yeah, and that's awesome that they do that. I mean, obviously they're doing what's best for the veteran, but it would be, I think, in the best interest of our county and our county's veterans to get them onboarded as an entity that can do their own work. That way we don't have to have training wheels.
Yep. And the transportation issue, getting them into care far faster.
Yeah.
And that is an issue for county employees. County employees are not permitted to cross county lines, so we cannot provide that transportation. So barriers, they're there.
They're significant.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a discussion to have. I'm happy to support and provide information wherever I can. Just let me know.
One of the main things that they can do really well at the VMET team, what Shannon and Tyrone can do, is they have a specially outfitted vehicle to transport veterans. And, you know, it's done with a lot of things to make the ride both more comfortable, but also safer for the veteran and the officer. And so, like, if they can directly transport somebody, I mean, I think that just speeds up not only the care, but probably improves the outcome if they can get somebody into care quickly without having to send them from Peter to Paul and, you know, it taking several hours. I don't mean to butt in and it's not an area I know that much about, but it just seems like it ought to be questions that we ought to be asking.
When I mean, it's absolutely vital at this point. We know that many of us have probably had some brothers and sisters who are Afghan vets who are already in, you know, they're on the prongs of dilemma and having issues with the whole withdrawal and so forth. So we got to probably need to move quickly on this. Do we need any kind of a motion to have a committee or subcommittee? Shouldn't have to. Yeah. So
Chair Duane, you as the chair, you can create an ad hoc committee.
Okay. Let's create an ad hoc committee for this. And Alex said he would be this pointy tip of the spear on that. That's Alex Maslin. Sorry.
Yep.
All right. Who would like to join him? Okay. So I have Alexis and Stephanie. Okay.
I would definitely like to join in.
Marcos Villa.
Is there a limit to the number of folks that can be on?
Four.
Okay. So I've got Alexis, Stephanie, Alex, and Alexander. All right.
New Alex. I think he's new Alex.
No, he's Alexander. He has a full full length name. So we'll go ahead and appoint you as a committee, and that'll be headed up by Alex Maslin. Thank you, everyone. All right, we have another friend of veterans here today, the Veterans Consortium Pro Bono Program speaker, and that is Nikhil Godfrey. Did I say that right?
That was perfect. Awesome. Yeah.
I had coaching.
Excuse me, I cough right as I unmute. It is very good to be with you all here today. I'm going to share a few slides with you because I'm a visual learner, and give me just 1 second here. Oh, I'm sorry, my mouse is now missing. Okay, great. Can you see my screen all right? Perfect. So the Veterans Naturalization Assistance Program, this is an Equal Justice Works Fellowship. It's sponsored by Northrop Grumman Corporation, as well as Covington and Burling, and it's hosted by the Veterans Consortium Pro Bono Program. So there are three main goals at VNAP. The first is to help non-citizen veterans naturalize. The second is to discover why many active service members are not applying for their naturalization. And the third is to discover why veterans are denied citizenship at a rate that is higher than civilians. So let's go through the background real quick. Each year, approximately 5,000 non-citizens enlist in the military. As of 2018, approximately 94,000 immigrant veterans do not have their US citizenship. Now that's 2018. We believe this number is well over 100,000 now. These non-citizen veterans come from a diverse group of countries. The top four birth countries are the Philippines, Mexico, China, and South Korea. In 2019, we learned that veterans were denied citizenship at a rate that was 5% higher than their civilian counterparts. We don't know exactly why this is happening. We have a few hypotheses on this, but of course, 2020 changed the game of everything. So 2019 is the best statistic we can use for this information. And finally, in the last 9 months of 2020, active service member requests to start naturalization applications was down from what used to be 1,500 applications to only 10 applications. This was a very dramatic decrease in the amount of active service members applying for their citizenship. There are two applicable laws, and these both, I'm sorry, I can see that you just now maybe can see my screen. So if you need me to go back, let me know. But so there are two applicable laws in this area. The first is INA 328. This is the Immigration and Naturalization Act. This applies to someone who served during a period of peacetime, and it requires 1 year of honorable service. Then we have INA 329. This refers to someone who served during a period of hostility and requires only a single day of honorable service. What I'd like to highlight for you though, is that these dates do not match the ones the VA uses to determine whether someone is a veteran of a period of hostility versus a period of peacetime. The example I'm using is that if you look at the Gulf War specifically, USCIS determined that the Gulf War it could be considered a period of hostility from August 2, 1990 to April 11, 1991, then that we were in a period of peacetime until September 11, 2001. The VA believes that August 2, 1990 until present was a period of hostility, which I happen to agree with. But unfortunately, this is where we're at. And so if a veteran comes to you saying that they served during a period of hostility, you need to double check their dates before you can absolutely confirm. This especially has implications if a veteran is deported, because if a veteran becomes deported, really the only option of coming back to the United States besides clemency is if they apply under INA 329. So if they serve during a period of hostility, there really is not an avenue back for them to this country. It is extremely difficult to get back. So I highlight that for you. What are the benefits of applying as a veteran? Okay, the first one, it is free. This is a free application to veterans and active service members alike. It is usually an $800 application, but this is absolutely waived for any veteran who is applying. Your application is fast-tracked if you're a veteran. The USCIS very recently announced that they are trying to get the application processing down to 6 months for veterans. We are seeing somewhere around the 10-month range currently, but that is still less than the maximum of 15 to 17 months that the average person goes through for this application. The next is that applying is easier with a DD-214. This is a twofold. One, if you're an active service member, you need an 06 or higher to sign off on your immigration paperwork.
Now, this is an extremely daunting task to get an O6 to sign off because, for one, they might not know who you are. For two, they may not have known a non-citizen was in their unit and they may not love that idea. Third, some may use this as an opportunity to get more out of a service member to encourage them to work harder if they want the signature. And fourth, which I think is, applies to most, a lot of O6s are not trained in immigration law, let alone went to law school. So when you hand them an immigration packet, they're confused and they don't know what to do. And it is quite possible that their JAG corps, or at least the JAG that they regularly go to, is not trained in immigration law. So it can take a really long time to get the signature. I've heard somewhere from, 4 months to 3 years for someone to finally get the attention of O6 who will sign off on it. If you're a veteran, you don't need an O6. You just need your DD-214 because it's already certified. The second prong to this is that if you apply with your DD-214, you have to prove good moral character. And although they're not supposed to look past either the 1 or 5 years before your application, depending on whether you're applying through your period of peacetime or period of hostility, they take your life as a whole. So if you can say for this chunk of your time that you have a certified document from another government entity that says this is a good person, that just helps your application. That looks really good. It's a gold star. Finally, requirements are reduced if you serve during a period of hostility. I'm not going to go into the specifics because I'm trying to keep it short today, but I'm happy to answer your questions about this. One of those is the good moral character that everyone else has to prove 5 years of good moral character. If you serve during a period of hostility, you only need proof 1 year of good moral character. So this fellowship project, what I do, like I said, VNAP serves these non-citizen veterans in the naturalization process. We assist with everything from evidence gathering to application completion and interview preparation. We want to be your one-stop shop and help the veteran through the entirety of the process. We also conduct educational trainings such as this one, because it's so important to get the word out about this opportunity, about this service we can provide. Finally, how you can help. I couldn't resist this plug. We are trying to get the word out. We want to make sure veterans know that we exist. We're a relatively new entity and not a lot of people are doing this type of work. So I'm sharing it with you here. Please feel free to share my contact information or my email address. I'm also happy to share our flyer. We also have a naturalization clinic coming up on October 22, where we have volunteers standing by ready to help our veterans and active service members through this naturalization process. So if you know of anyone that could benefit from the service, we still have availability. We are still ready and we'll have to turn volunteers away if we don't fill all the slots. So please feel free to spread the word on that. And then finally, this is my contact information. I'm happy to copy and paste this into the chat as well so that everyone can have it. It's a little easier, but the top part is my direct line. I'll put that in there. And then the bottom part is for VNAP generally, our email and our phone number address. So that's all the information I have for you. And I'm happy to turn it over now to answer some questions.
Thank you, Nicole.
Yeah, no problem.
That's a lot of useful information. I work at a community college and I know that we have a number of veterans who are non-citizens, so this is going to prove very useful for them. Are there any questions from members?
Nikhil, do you do presentations for Marines and soldiers and sailors getting out?
I'm sorry, you cut out right at the end of your question.
Oh, I was wondering if you did presentations for troops getting out of the military.
We have contacted the Transition Assistance Program, and they have assured us that there's a naturalization training in that program. My youngest client, though, has left the military at the end of 2020, so I'm quite certain that's not correct, but they have reassured us through our multiple contacts that is well covered, so... I would be very happy, though, to provide a training to anyone that is interested. This is supposed to be a system that's set up so that you can do this on your own. The problem is that there are so many questions that trigger a veteran's application that it would be better to go through it with an attorney. And that's really why we want to be here and help anyone going through this process. Just an example is that they ask a whole series of questions. Have you ever tortured someone? Have you ever helped in a genocide? Have you ever worked in a jail camp? Have you ever received weapons training? Well, yes, the veteran has received weapons training. And so they have to say yes to that. But every veteran going through is going to mark that as no, because clearly they are not a bad person. And it's asking if you're a bad person, did you help with the genocide? Did you torture someone? So because of that, it's better for us to be able to support people going through this process, because we have a whole set of explanations ready that we include with these applications to say, yes, okay, he had or she had weapons training, but look, you know, they were in the military and they came out with an honorable discharge. Clearly this, you're not looking for this person. So that's why we like to be involved in this process. And I know it should be straightforward. It should be something someone could handle on their own, but that's just not the reality of this.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you, Nikhil, for reaching out. I mean, this is obviously a much needed service. I've done some pro bono immigration and asylum and refugee work before, and I know how incredibly complex and bureaucratic it is. And we will do our part to help spread the word out here. And I would just encourage you to keep reaching out to your points of contact at the transition readiness programs. Those positions tend to turn over. I think, you know, I know people have gone through the program recently. They do not have that type of training. I mean, they don't have a lot of times, you know, good training regarding VA benefits, et cetera. So you might want to keep reaching out and then maybe reaching out to local chapters that you can assist with directly instead of, you know, point of contact above, because it is really, you know, the best time to complete this paperwork, hopefully, is while you're in the military. But if once you get out, you know, as soon as possible. So appreciate the work that you're doing for our veterans and active duty service personnel.
Thank you so much.
And Jose Guevara is asking in the chat for your contact information again.
Oh, yes. Let me do that right now. I will also see if I can attach the flyer for our upcoming event so that that's available to you all as well. Like I said, it's a clinic that we're going to help them go. We're going to help veterans go through the entire naturalization process. So from question one and through every single form until we're done with everything, we are trying to get it all done. And in preparation for that, we help our clients by gathering all necessary documents, by helping them make sure that they even have their DD-214. I'm sure many of you know that's very difficult to track down right now. So making sure that that exists, or that we can contact the VA for help in that. But let me include that in the chat as well here.
Nikhil, is this a county, state, or nationwide thing? I mean, where are you guys located and how far do you reach?
It is a nationwide thing. So I am actually in Washington, D.C. currently, but I'm a California girl. I'm from Placer County, so I had to reach out. And our volunteers are able to support. Sorry, I can't do this while I'm talking. I will attach it, I promise. But our volunteers are all throughout the United States. So I'll be in San Francisco next month for our interview for one of our clients. And then we have people in Florida and New York all over ready to help with these applications.
That's fantastic. Are you going to drop the flyer in the chat?
Yes, I will do that.
We'll give you some time.
Thank you.
We're getting ready to move on to the next topics. Sorry.
Nikhil, it was Northrop Grumman that supports it?
Yes, as well as Covington and Burling. So they are my co-sponsors on it. And that's also, I forgot to mention this, but that's how we're able to offer the service completely free to veterans, thanks to their generous sponsorship.
That's fantastic. So we'll give her some time to go ahead and add that. If there are no further questions,
just
go ahead.
You know, Eric, I tried to add the flyer and it doesn't let me add a PDF. So
that's going to be a host thing.
Yeah.
So maybe up.
I can send this to.
You could send it to me and I would be glad to send it out to the council.
Okay, Jenna, I'll send it to you.
Perfect. Thank you.
That's great, a solutionary. So awesome. Thank you. All right, item number 6, mental health resources for veterans discussion. I think that was introduced by Alexander Gonzalez. So if you want to go ahead and start that conversation, sir, I yield the floor to you.
Thank you very much, Chairman Duane. I really appreciate the time to offer this topic up to the council for discussion. So this topic is something that was born out of conversations with old friends, colleagues, fellow veterans, service providers, you name it, regarding the circumstances that were unfolding in Afghanistan. As the situation developed, I also had to catch myself and make sure that I was mentally, healthy and equipped to manage the challenges that we're facing. And so I knew that there were probably other veterans that were, going through the same issues. And so in thinking through some of the opportunities that we have as a council to identify low-hanging fruit or ways that we can help communicate the resources that we have here at the county to veterans, I took to looking to our, social media channels and some of the other resources that we have available, and noticed that we didn't really have a lot of forward-facing information for the community to absorb and learn about. And I was kind of curious about, ways that we can maybe help address this. Maybe some of these considerations will need to be elaborated further by staff, but some of the more low-hanging fruit is, in particular, timely dissemination of information, especially for sensitive events or periods like the holidays, when mental health crises are, are at all-time highs. And so I guess I was just wondering, what are some of the ways that we can help broadcast this information through county resources, not just what's available here at the VSO, but tapping into the larger pool of resources that the county has, and maybe perhaps through our own connections as council members, helping this, sort of broadcast that information. In my daytime job as the chief of staff for the city of Costa Mesa, I can definitely tell you that we like to rely on the county for good information, and we do our best to share resources that are communicated to the rest of the community. And we have an active constituency that helps share that information. So I think it would be safe to say that a lot of Orange County residents are definitely engaged, in particular, certainly with this topic, and certainly because of recent events. I think it would be a worthwhile endeavor to sort of explore these options. In addition to that, I'm excited to see that we've established a committee to help address these issues. And I'm wondering if maybe as part of the committee's, first items of action, we can probably convene a meeting with some of the resources we have here at the county, and maybe consider something, when the time is right and when it is safe to do so, mental health resource fair. Somewhere central, somewhere that is easily accessible for veterans and for service providers to learn more about what we have and how we can share that information with everyone else.
All right, ideas. What do we think about this? I know that we can all agree that it's something that's necessary, but how best to carry out this plan? And I know that, not to throw you under the bus again, Kevin, but we've got a great resource here that is Kevin. Obviously, we've got Erica and Jenna and folks from the BSO and Desiree. How can we better forward face that information?
Sorry, I'm getting some feedback. I'm not sure if everyone hears that, but
yeah, it sounds like somebody's cell phone sitting on their
table. Oh, okay. It does. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Name that noise. I was just gonna share, some of the resources that we use regularly through the VSO would be obviously our partnership with OC for Vets. We're co-located together in the same area. So as our claims representatives are hearing about behavioral health needs or concerns, they're able to quickly link them with OC for Vets you know, do that same day referral, warm handoff, and get them linked up right away if it's identified during their appointment. And then of course, we have OC for Vets available for walk-ins that are just coming in for information or resources. They may not necessarily have an appointment with a claims rep, but they just want to see what's available. So we have the OC for Vets information. But I know that the healthcare agency has really tried to simplify and create that single point of entry for accessing all behavioral health services through OC. Is it OC Links or OC?
OC Links.
So essentially, the general public, including veterans, could go through OC Links and then, depending on their need or their circumstances, get referred to the appropriate service that, you know, either serves that population or provides the type of treatment that's needed. I don't know how, I mean, I know OC Links is forward facing. I don't know how forward facing OC for Vets is. If
OC for Vets is not very forward facing. We don't have a lot of publicly available material, and even on our website, the county website, the OC for Vets page, and our veteran resources page for behavioral health is pretty well hidden. So it takes a little searching. What I have done is I work closely with the OC Links team to the point where actually I've supervised that team off and on while their current supervisor steps away and gets pulled in other directions. So I've ensured that the OC Links team is very aware of the veteran resources and what we're doing. The county is going to be pushing out active advertisements and active marketing strategies for the OC Links resource to drive anyone with a behavioral health need to into OC Links so they can connect them to the appropriate resources. And that'll include veterans. It's going to be for all of our populations. So OC Links is going to be our primary source of access for anyone seeking behavioral health services within Orange County.
And what are the hours of operation, Kevin?
They're 24 hours.
Yeah, 24 hours. That's what I thought. So it's basically a hotline, right?
Yep.
People can call in and access.
And services. They're serving as the crisis line. So they're actually taking our cat calls. So they are the front end of our crisis system now. So OC Links is taking on more roles and responsibilities. They've taken on calls for our outreach and engagement programs, as well as our crisis program. So any crisis call, any call for community outreach is going to move through our OC Links program. So they've expanded significantly. 6 months ago, they were Monday through Friday, 8 to 6. Within the past 6 months, they've gone 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So they are actively available. You'll really see anyone with a behavioral health need is going to be driven and directed over to our OC Links program.
So I'm trying to be mindful of time, you know, and Alexander, thank you for bringing this up. I think that there are kind of three ways as I think about it. You know, one which we've touched on is veterans in crisis needing immediate, you know, mental health care and being able to access them. And I will say on a personal experience, I called for a family member who is not in California, the Veterans Crisis Line, and had an abysmal experience with it. So not our crisis line, but basically it's a suicide prevention hotline through the VA. And that family member did not end up receiving care. I also called the VA hospital in that state and family member was not able to get care. And then of course the period elapsed to where that family member wanted to get care and now is kind of in a downward spiral. So I think that the current situation in Afghanistan is only going to highlight the number of veterans in crisis and the family members in crisis. And I think that that is something that our subcommittee can address to maybe think of ways to improve that system and make sure that that we are connecting all those loose ends, because really it just takes one disconnection or one loose end and one veteran to quote unquote fall through to have traumatic effects. And so I think that that's something that our subcommittee could serve. I think too is creating an acknowledgement, you know, much like we did for the Vietnam veterans, you know, way too late, that this, there is a lot of mixed and very difficult feelings that, like, I've been dealing with as an Afghan veteran, my husband, our interpreters, we've been helping to try to get our interpreters and our interpreters' families to this country. And I think an acknowledgement, and I don't know if that takes place in some type of, you know, ceremony where people can get together. I don't know if it's small groups. I don't know what the answer is, but I think we can brainstorm some type of recognition from the county, you know, regarding Afghanistan and the veterans and their families and their allies, including interpreters and community supporters, that might be something, you know, because acknowledgement goes a long way. And for 20 years, a lot of, you know, Afghan veterans, like many veterans of the wars before them, feel very forgotten while U.S. society has kind of, you know, gone on and done, you know, done its own thing. And then I think also highlighting service opportunities for others. I know VFW and others really pride themselves on, if you're going through hard times as a veteran, one of the best ways to deal with that is getting involved in a serving, you know, community service organization and helping others. So really giving opportunities for veterans to help other veterans. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of Afghan families that are resettling into Orange County. And so this, you know, that were interpreters, interpreters' families, allies. And so being able to connect our veteran community with, you know, raising, like, my husband's interpreter's wife and his mother are in Germany right now on their way over here. And we have the Dana Point 5th Marine Regiment support group who's been raising money. The Dana Point Women's Club is raising money and things like that for, you know, furniture and necessities. And there are other families that are heading to Orange County. And so I think, you know, again, improving that first response, creating some type of community recognition and solidarity event, and then third, connecting veterans with the ability to serve others would be helpful. And that's something the subcommittee maybe could address in more detail, because I know we're nearing the end of our meeting.
We're not constrained by time, and this is a very hot topic and it's a significant issue right now. I think that would be a good idea. Alexander, does that meet the criteria for what you wanted to kind of start with this discussion? If the subcommittee addresses that and adds that to their.
I think those are some wonderful proposals, certainly. I think we can definitely use that as a framework to begin highlighting, you know, this crisis that we'll be helping veterans manage. And it's a good first step towards, you know, identifying other issues that potentially might need resolution.
And I also see that Stephanie has a hand up.
I'll just say, I think Alex was right on bringing this to us. And I think Alexis's idea about trying to do a welcome home or a welcome event and maybe involving some Afghan refugee families. And
that's an excellent idea.
For veterans to serve. And I think the time is just right. I know I sort of pulled a resolution on veterans' families. On Afghan and Iraqi allied families. Because Speaker or Chairman Doe and Vice Chairman Chafee had both already sort of preempted it and done exactly what I was hoping they would do. So, I mean, maybe it's a very easy thing for staffers to give a nice framed certificate to those who served. And I think that would be something maybe they would all like. So let's by all means move to sort of suggest that to the Board of Supervisors, that we have some kind of recognition event. Maybe next year is an anniversary.
Right. I think we have a couple of COAs, courses of action. We have a list and we have a subcommittee. Is it okay to move on? All right.
Absolutely.
We'll go ahead and move on to item 7, executive committee report from both myself and Stephanie. Stephanie, I'll let you go first. You're muted.
I just caught myself. I'm like, you said it before I fixed it. The only thing I have to report is I was really very gratified that Chairman Doe and Supervisor Chafee were already, you know, making this move to really formally as the county really welcome, you know, people who served with Alexis and Alex in Afghanistan and as well as in Iraq. And it's high time. So I'm glad we're taking care of that business at home. And Alexis and Alex, I hope I can help support you guys in making this right going forward. That's all I had.
Awesome. clearly we will, you know, going back to 2003, I know obviously we invaded Afghanistan much earlier. I was deployed in 2001 as well. Deployed again in 2003. I remember coming home in 2003. And I knew that I needed help. And I went to the VA, and the VA asked me if I wanted drugs, not if I wanted help. They were wholly unprepared for the mental health crisis they were about to experience. Fortunately for the vet center and places like OC for Vets, there were many different methods to get veterans help. And I know that they still exist, and the vet center is still a very viable OC for Vets. We have a lot of different options out there. If we don't get in front of this, then we're going to get run over by it. So I think that this is very timely. So thank you to everyone for stepping up to the plate for that. Obviously, we're coming up to a significant date, right? The 20-year anniversary of September 11th. I've got a couple events that I'll pass on during communication for, events outreach. And I don't want to belabor this topic anymore. But what I will say is that most of you have my phone number. And, you know, we're all brothers and sisters in arms. If anybody needs to make a phone call, my phone's always on. And it rings in the middle of the night. So I'm there for you. Let's go ahead and move on to OC for Vets. I'm sorry, OCVSO update. That's you, Erica.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few announcements before I get into the office updates. So all of you see Desiree Gonzalez. So welcome to our OC Community Services team. She is going to be supporting OC Community Services boards, councils, and commissions under Jenna. So Jenna's been carrying the support ever since Carissa left, right? So we've had that vacant position, and we're very fortunate to have Desiree join our team. She is new to our department, but not new to the county. Many, many years of county experience working in child support services. So she knows the lay of the land a little bit, and we're just excited. She's gonna shadow Jenna through all of our September meetings, and then we'll kind of see how she feels at the end of the month. And hopefully get her supporting all of our councils on her own coming in October, but we'll be here to support her and walk her through anything. So welcome, Desiree. The other thing I wanted to mention is that for those OCVAC members that placed an order for name tags and business cards at the beginning of August, that order took like 4 to 6 weeks. So it's finally coming in, and it will be shipped to you guys. Jenna will probably email you just to confirm the address that we have on file for those that placed the order. Anyone that didn't get their request in August, obviously, once you get your request in, it's going to be about 4 to 6 weeks from that point on, but we'll get your business cards and name tags for all the members. And then the last quick announcement that I had is that Elena Kim had her baby. She had a baby boy. I think his birthday was August 27th, and his name is Lyndon, L-Y-N-D-O-N. So mom and baby are doing well and healthy, and she's going to be out for a few more weeks on her maternity leave. But if you need anything in the meantime, I'm covering. And then we also have Jessica Castro as our supervisor in the office. In terms of office updates, you know, busy as usual. It's been that way for a while now. I'm sure you saw the big voice numbers for August. We served over 3,000 clients. Filed 862 claims. The awards paid out through the VA totaled over $900,000 for the month of July. So we're cranking it out. Appointments are booking up right now as of today. If you were to call, you would be offered an appointment starting October 19th. So we're about 5 weeks out for appointments. We like to stay under 30 days, but it's just super busy right now. So we'll keep an eye on that and I'll continue to keep you posted. The last thing that we worked on is that CalVet updated their college fee waiver form letters for approvals and denials. So of course that affected our Orange County system, but we were able to work with our IT department to upload the templates for those approval and denial letters so that our system is in compliance with the state's and there's been no interruption in services. But just the letters that system cranks out looks a little different than they did when we first rolled out. And I think that's it. That's all I have, unless anyone has any questions. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll go ahead and move on to the CalVet update. Ben Gales.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What a great meeting today. There's so much interesting information presented, so many great ideas to move forward. I think in the interest of time, just so much has happened. I'm going to table, you know, some stuff I was going to share that I thought of before, but I just wanted to make one observation, you know, just about the value of Kevin's team, you know, I think which we all know, but just to kind of capture one piece of that value, which is to understand their ability of OC for Vets to connect to a full range of programs. You know, it's not just that team at 1300 South Grand, you know, and their peer navigators and clinicians, but when it goes to Kevin's team, you know, you have the opportunity, if it's a family need, to connect a strong family, strong children. If it's a criminal justice need, you know, they have their court support team. They have Working Wardrobes as a partner, which is actually doing a whole lot of stuff with employment, but even more, you know, in terms of housing and different types of navigation. So that's certainly, Kevin is my comfort point. You know, when there's someone in need with kind of a range of needs, you know, mental health at the center, I think a lot to be proud of, and that in full infrastructure there at OC for Vets. So that, given the context of what we talked about today, that's my main thought.
Thank you, Ben. We'll go ahead and move on to Kevin.
Thank you, Ben. Really appreciate the kind words. We do work really hard to support the needs of any veteran or veteran family or military connected individual that gets over to us. Our goal is to be here to support in access to any resource that our veterans here in Orange County need. So, and it looks like Alexis dropped off. I was gonna let her know in cases like she was describing, access to care can be a significant barrier no matter where our veterans are across the country. And whether we're talking about access to care through the VA system or access to care outside of the VA system through more traditional avenues, there's a lot of confusion, there are a lot of roadblocks, and it can be difficult to get into treatment. This is one of my areas of expertise. I have worked private, public, and really, you know, any setting you can imagine on the behavioral health side, on the medical side, I've worked with in some way. I've run the Hoag Hospital, Hoag Neurobehavioral Health Hospital's addiction and behavioral health treatment programs. So ran some of the largest psychiatric and addiction treatment programs in the state and in the country. I've run crisis programs, and I've had to work with insurance companies. I've had to work with private payers. I've had to work with everything. So in order to do that, I really had to learn how to navigate this system and really get around and get people connected to care. If you run into problems and you can't get someone connected to care, I don't care what time it is. I don't care when it is. Call me. If you need help, I will be there. So,
Kevin,
you muted up, buddy.
Kevin, I just wanted to say thank you for offering that. That is tremendous for you to, you know, offer your availability to the council like that. And certainly it's a resource that I know that I'll be looking to take advantage of if I run into another veteran in crisis, which I actually have. So I'll be sending someone to your way pretty soon. But thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Kevin. Yeah. You provide an invaluable service. I know that I've sent a lot of people your way. So, and every single one of them, some of them very close, dear friends that I've deployed with, some that I just met, every single one of them, without exception, has gotten very quick, getting tied in with mental health professionals and started on the path to healing. So absolutely phenomenal service you provide. We definitely need to work on getting it more forward facing.
Thanks. Yeah, and it is a goal that we're working towards, ensuring that if there's any veteran in Orange County that needs behavioral health services, they know how to get to us. They know that we're here. We want to be visible. We want to be available. We want to ensure that any veteran in need knows where we are and how to get us.
So, we thank you, sir.
Yeah, I know, Eric, you had talked briefly before about your experience with the system and the pushing of medication. This is one of the barriers that we see quite a bit with access to care in our systems of care. When you're working with hospitals and getting a hospital system like the VA tends to be very hospital and medically based, they tend to focus on medical strategies and medical interventions. That's why we have our, you know, our vet centers and programs like Go See for Vets are more clinical and behavioral health driven. So you won't have the same approach. You'll have a variety of resources and treatment. There is value to medication. Medication can be effective in conjoint treatment is what I always encourage. Medication alone serves as a Band-Aid. It's not a fix. Therapy, treatment, intensive engagement, combined with medication can be highly effective. So, these are some of the things that we talk with our clients about, and we're going to support our veterans through helping them make the decisions as to what the best treatment method is for them to manage their own recovery. So,
well, thank you, Kevin. We're glad we have you as a resource. Go ahead and move on to item 11, Standing Committees, Communications Committee Report. Alex Maslin, do you have anything to report?
I do not.
All right, we'll go ahead and move on to events and outreach, and I'll just talk about, I'm not sure if Alex, you have this one on your radar. Oh no, that would be Vlad and Mario, who neither one are here. So I'll go ahead and pass on this information about a 9/11 remembrance ceremony. So there's going to be, let's see, this is going to be September 11th, 2021 to, well, 2021, 6 p.m. It's a VFW ceremony. I'm sorry, folks. I'm trying to, Lieutenant Fred Corral, Medal of Honor recipient. It's going to be a special guest. This is at Santa Ana Veterans Hall. I'm sorry. It's not at a VFW. It's at Santa Ana Veterans Hall at 1404 North Grand Avenue, Santa Ana. And if you want any information on that, the number is 714-884-4082. So there's a number of ceremonies and things going on. I wanted to highlight another one very quickly. Bright Blue Sky is a production that is was written by two close friends of mine. Neither of them are veterans, but they are Americans. And they wrote this. It's a musical rendition of a group of office mates in the North Tower on September 11th. Looking forward to going. The price is minimal. It's $12. It's at the Rose Center Theater in Westminster, right across the street from the police department. So don't be a lawbreaker and go to the theater that night. And I have no other events to report. So we'll go ahead and move on. Does anyone else have anything for events to report for September 11th or anything around that? Okay. Go ahead and move to council comments. If we could get Stephanie. Start with Stephanie, council comments.
I have nothing at this time.
Very well. Bobby McDonald.
Yeah, I've got a couple things. Got a couple things. Assemblyman Choi, I sent a note up. I don't know if you received it already, should have. But Assemblyman Choi, September 24th, is going to be having a tour, a little small program at the Gypsum, Anaheim Hills Gypsum Canyon. So if you haven't been or you want to attend, please show up. I know that I've got the VFW Division D2 group and some others going to be there and be part of it. And this is pretty neat to have the Assemblyman Choi there because he was the mayor of Anaheim when this land came out. And he was always part of this thing. So I won't give you the story because I'll tell it then. Number two, as of last night, we on the cemetery, roundup, if you will. We got 154 groups, individuals, and people that are now involved, but legislators involved with the cemetery. And again, as of last night, we have garnered 15 resolutions from different cities in the county. We still have some work to do because we have 17 more, those 34 cities in the county. We probably will get 33. I'll leave the Irvine joke alone. We're looking at having this all squared away and wrapped up. Our goal is to make sure we have all 33 cities with resolutions on board for the cemetery in Anaheim by Veterans Day. That's going to be our gift to the county.
That would be phenomenal. And this is Valor, right, Bobby?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Thank you for all you do.
Well, it's Valor and everybody else. I mean,
sure, of course.
When I make my presentations, OCVAC, the Collaborative, you know, you name it. If you're veterans, I name them all. Everybody's part of this.
All right, sir.
And the last and final thing is I sent a note to Erica yesterday or day before yesterday of listing 5 or 6 different Veterans Day programs that are coming up. And usually I go out and I try to do this myself to get as many, but I thought maybe because we have so many new members on the council that I like to inform everyone that part of our job as advisory council members for the county is to get this information and get it to the supervisors. So each one of us, and of course we've got the four at large, each one of us should be able to go through each one of the districts and cover all the cities that have the veterans thing. And sometimes we miss this. And that includes the schools, the cities, all that. Now I know the big one usually is at the Heroes Hall, and most people think that's the county one. That's fine, but I know that now Anaheim Hills has one. I know that Orange has their Field of Valor. Irvine usually does something too special, but it's not on Eric and Alex and Vladimir to get all this information. It's up to us to get this, especially for Veterans Day and for Memorial Day. So my little plea to each one of you is find something, get it in, so by the end of October, we're squared away to give it to it instead of people going to the newspaper looking for it online. It should be coming from us. Okay, and with that, I'm finished.
Thank you, sir. Alexis?
Hi, so I think I made probably most of my comments earlier on, but I would just like to encourage everyone to reach out to veterans and check in on them. I've made contact with a lot of ones that I've served with, and people are taking it pretty hard, as you can imagine, as well as their families. So to the extent that you can, I'd also like to point out that we have veterans in Orange County who are currently right now working on getting their allies out of Afghanistan still via other means. So check in with them too, because it's not just our fellow veterans and our fellow Americans that, you know, are impacting our veterans' mental health. It's the allies that they've left behind. And then I look forward to working with the subcommittee on addressing the issues that are raised. And I want to thank everyone that attended this meeting today and all of the board members for their support. This is a great group.
Thank you for that. Let's see, we have Alexander Gonzalez.
Thank you, Chairman. Really, I don't have any further comments to offer, but again, just want to kind of echo Alexis's comments and thank everyone for their time and assistance with our request.
Thank you, Alexander. Alex Maslin.
No, I don't think I could have said it better than has already been said. So reach out to your buddies, check on them. Obviously, anyone's free to reach out to me if they need someone to talk to. It's unfortunately probably going to be a bit of a tough time for a little while for a lot of vets.
Yeah, be safe out there on the streets, and hopefully you have those mental health services readily available to you to be able to service our veteran population. All right, I've got nothing further to add. I think this is
Mr. Yes, Chair. Sir.
Go ahead,
Mr. Chair. I'm sorry. You have the floor. I had another note here. I was wanting to bring up. I had the honor and opportunity last Tuesday to speak in front of the House Veterans Affairs Committee.
Oh, wow.
The new chairman of the Center for Minority Veterans, the deputy director, and it was a group of about seven or eight of them, and I had a chance to talk in regards to what we are doing in regards to minority veterans and women-owned veterans and LGBTQ and then seniors. But I kind of made it very, very clear we're about all veterans, and veterans come under that umbrella. I know we segment some of them, we put them in silos, but the bottom line is we're all for all veterans. And when it was all over, the group was pretty much impressed with some of the things we're doing in the community. And I also highlighted that Cal State Fullerton thing up there, and But anyway, the bottom line is, I told them about the California State Veterans and how they're doing a lot with the underserved communities and also with the LGBT thing, because the committee is looking at doing some different things under their new program, which is now called IDEA, Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, Access. And there will be coming out with a report sometime in the next couple of weeks that Secretary McDonough had put out there. So I wanted to share that with you, that we're out there. Okay.
Thank you. Yep. Always on the forefront. Thank you for what you do. Just to reiterate what Alex said, and that's Alex Maslin and Alexis said, all these Alexes, right? Used to be dominated by Erics and Ericas, but okay. Buddy check. You know, I definitely know that I'm going to be checking in with my little buddy that's out of 29 Palms, but I'm also going to be checking with all of my brothers and sisters that I've deployed with, those that I know have deployed. Do your due diligence, check out to them. Last thing we want is to find out that one of our brethren has done something awful. A few years ago, my corpsman from 2006 Iraq deployment, unfortunately, was in a police standoff in Sausalito County and did not suicide by cop, but did end up committing suicide in that that thing. And that's just, it's horrible. If we can prevent it, we need to reach out. We need to stop it. We have within us the power. And if we need the help, we have the numbers. So with that, remember September 11th, my grandmother was in Pearl Harbor when it was bombed. I think I told that story during a coffee talk one time, which brings me to my next topic. Coffee talk this month is on the 22nd at 8:30. We will highlight, and we hope to get a bunch of Afghan veterans. I don't know if Kevin's busy that day, but it sure would be nice to have a mental health professional in that coffee talk. So no pressure, but if we can manage that, that would be phenomenal.
Mr. Chair?
Yep.
Is it possible that we can get a graphic out about it? Because I know the way I communicate with a lot of folks like that is through Facebook and email. If I have a flyer or a graphic that specifically says the Afghanistan thing, in particular, I'm thinking a lot of the people I know at the Veterans Center on a couple of the campuses I used to work at. Is there anything we have to share?
Great. That would be a VSO. Would we be able to do something like that? I know that we featured it in the Big Voice. I did see that. But I think it would be nice to have a special coffee talk. Maybe with, you know, OEF vets or Afghanistan vets, something highlighted there so that they know that that's what our topic for this month is.
Sure. So we'll just take the standard flyer and recreate it with that specific detail. I'll send you a draft so you can approve it, and then we'll get it out.
Sounds great.
Thank you, Erica.
Yeah.
Erica, what was the date and time again?
It was the 22nd at 8:30 a.m.
All right. And is everyone aware we have our behavioral health conference, our annual behavioral health conference this month on the 24th? I'll send out information to Jenna so we can get that distributed.
Please and thanks. Yep. All right. If there are no further comments, go ahead and move to adjourn. All right, everyone. Have an excellent day. Take care of each other. Keep your phones, your ringers on. All right. Take care.